Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
I ate some combos and it wrecked me for some reason.
You gotta be ready for combos.
Apparently, I haven't had combos in a while, so
yeah, you just can't walk right into combos.
I thought I could, but like my tummy hurts. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have that many combos. I had like a handful of combos. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Bahubali, the beginning.
Bahubali, is it Bahubali or Bahubali?
Bahubali? Bahubali?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It's probably important.
నేను ఎప్పుడు చూడని కళ్ళు నన్ను దేవుళ్ళ చూస్తున్నాయి.
నేను ఎవరిని?
మా దేవుడు అమరేంద్ర బాహుబలి రక్తాన్ని వినువు.
జై మహిష్మతి.
So it's Thursday, right? Yes, it's Thursday, and that means we're doing a We Just Watched Classic, which means we have a Patreon subscriber to thank for this episode, specifically Andrew McGuire, who
Thank you, Andrew.
Who pointed us to this Bollywood film. I don't know if it's Bollywood. It's made in India.
It is India. It's apparently a Tollywood film.
Okay. Sure.
which means it's in the Telugu language.
Right. And it definitely was...
yeah, we noticed that it was dubbed in a different language. It was clearly dubbed in a different language than what it was originally recorded in. I'm not sure which version we saw because I don't know the language because I'm a stupid American. I speak English and that is it.
This is on Netflix for free. The reason we got this one, Andrew McGuire, I don't know if you remember, Tom, but he also gave us Iga, the other.
He did give us Iga.
Yeah, it's the same director.
The movie Iga. About a man reincarnated as a fly, and God damn it, is that a fine film.
Yes, it was. And Bahubali is the same director. It is almost 3 hours long. It is about 2 hours and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Tom, what did you think of this movie?
I thought it was pretty rad. It definitely lives up to its title, the beginning, because it does end like right as the story is getting started.
Yeah, it's one of two parts. And I'm going to have to see the second movie.
It has the I don't want to call it problem because it's a different, it's just a different style of storytelling. But it does have the sort of trope of Indian films where there are long stretches where they're just, it's just a musical number. And
I would argue that that's one of the best parts.
Yeah. I mean, it's just very long.
Yes, it's very long. I was going to watch it in two sittings, and I ended up just accidentally watching the whole thing because it really, the first part is the slower part. And then once it gets to the flashback, which lasts like half the movie.
Well, the flashback is like the last hour.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what was going on at first because they have the same actor play his father.
The same two actors are playing his father and his uncle.
Right.
Like, so it was just like, so what the uncle fuck is the is same happening? Actor as the bad guy. Yeah, so for a second, you're just like, it's a little confusing for a second, and then you realize, oh, wait, the other characters aren't there, and this is somebody telling him the story of what happened before he was, before his mom fled from the kingdom with him as an infant.
Right. I got pretty into it. I gotta say, he's superhuman in this, and it made me realize that I think Marvel films would be so much better if they had musical numbers, which I hear the Eternals actually has a Bollywood dance scene in it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. And it's just watching like a, basically a superhero film where everybody stops and dances every now and then. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck yeah. There's just something so happy about that. But
it's hard not to be delighted by it. Like the only part of me that was like frustrated with it, it was like, okay, come on, let's get on with the story. But right. that's just musicals in general. Yeah.
My biggest complaint about this movie, I mean, obviously, yeah, it's long, but whatever. It's got a couple of unwoke moments. It's very much a, but I think no more than most Hollywood films.
No, not, yeah, it's not.
It's got a part where he pretties up the lead actress, mm-hmm. who's like a warrior,
yeah,
and then they do
badass.
A dance number where he makes her sexy.
Yeah.
He waterboards her romantically.
He does. It's a very seductive waterboarding.
Yeah, it's a seductive waterboard. That was the only part where I was like, ah, come on.
It looks like a beer commercial.
It does. it's such a weird scene.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And then he just steals her heroic quest. And he's like, I'll do this. And then goes off and does her thing for her, which is save the
queen locked up by the bad guy. Can we talk about the bad guy?
Oh, he's fucking great.
We are introduced to the bad guy who, what was his name? Baladeva, I think? Something like that. So he's like the villainous ruler of this kingdom that Bahubali is the rightful king to. We are introduced to him as he single-handedly defeats a raging bull.
Yes.
Like a giant, like a mythically giant bull.
What was interesting is, did you notice in the corner of the screen what it said?
CG, yeah.
Yep. I wonder, because they didn't do it for anything else, so I wonder if that's for religious purposes. Because at the very beginning, they also...
there's a disclaimer at the very beginning that like none of the animals in this movie are real. It's all computer graphics.
But then they all only do the CGI watermark for the bull, which I thought was interesting.
I noticed that, yeah, because I was looking for it later with the scenes with like the elephants and stuff.
Yeah.
Or when they cut the
doesn't
cat
he punch an elephant? Did I dream that?
I believe he punches the elephant.
Yeah. What a great movie.
But there's no watermark when they cut off the calf's head, like at the start of the battle in the flashback scene, you know, when they splash his blood on the idol.
Yeah. I wonder if there was just something very specific about that scene, but, I almost appreciated that. I liked the idea of a movie just starting out with like, yeah, don't worry. We didn't hurt any animals. I mean, these days it's like a kind of a given. It was funny because the CGI isn't exactly up to date.
No,
but
it's like
I didn't mind that disclaimer.
No, the CG in the movie is like,
it's not bad.
No, it's maybe like one. It's like a maybe two steps above like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah,
like a sci-fi original movie. So it's not. It's perfectly serviceable. It by no means looks real, but it doesn't really matter that it doesn't.
No, and I think a lot of the stunts and that shit looked really good. So, like, it's really just the CGI animals didn't look good. And that, again, that's sort of a common issue.
Yeah.
That I didn't care that much about. But the villain is great.
Yep. He fucking beasts this goddamn bull. It's so goddamn great.
The movie's about...
just like, let him come at me.
Right. They say a few things to be like...
I think he fucks some other... Like, the bull fucks some other dudes up and he's just like, come at me, bro, and grabs it by the horns and slams its fucking head into the dirt.
Right. It fucks up that bull.
He fucks that bull up.
Yeah. The movie starts with the queen carrying a baby out of a cave, and soldiers are going after her, and she drowns holding the baby above her head in the river, mm-hmm. and these villagers find this baby, and the baby's a very special boy. As we learn, he's drawn to this waterfall and wants to climb it. He finds the mask of somebody under this waterfall. He eventually climbs it using like superhero strength. He moves the
using superhero strength and visions of a hot woman.
Yep, and Hawkeye powers. He's got some Hawkeye powers.
He does have
there.
Some Hawkeye powers. Yeah.
Yeah, he moves their Why can't I think of the word for it? The little fountain. He moves the fountain that they are collecting water to give to the gods.
Yeah, he moves it under the waterfall.
Yeah, and that's how he knows he's super. He's wicked. He's wicked strong.
He's still like, yeah, he's got the super strength, bro.
Yeah, and then he meets the love interest, and she immediately tries to kill him, which I appreciated. Like, where he ninja stalks her first.
Yeah, he fucks with her for a minute. Like, he starts drawing tattoos on her back.
Yeah, he, like, hides in trees and paints her when she's not looking.
Yeah.
I loved when she fired that fucking arrow with a snake on it, sent that snake on a moon mission. That snake is, like, it's like the end of 2001. She's holding a bow and arrow. She's, like, doing assassin stuff. And he, like, paints on her. And does he, like, drop the snake on her?
Yes.
And the snake wraps around the arrow.
Yeah.
And then she fires the arrow.
Yep.
That poor snake.
That snake's going on a journey. Yeah, he drops the snake on her to mask the brush strokes that he's doing on her shoulder.
Right.
So she just thinks it's the snake.
So he's just like romantically creeping on her. It's real weird.
It's very romantic.
Yeah. And then I was like, I don't know about this. But I appreciated when he like sees her. And he says, I'm here to love you. She immediately tries to murder him. It's like, yeah, that's what you do.
She's like, I'm not having that bullshit.
And she's like, nope. But they dance under the waterfall, and she gets into him after that, after he waterboards her.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to resist the beer commercial dance.
Yeah. And he gives her, like, a fight makeover. That's what I was talking about, where he, like, hypnotizes her with her own beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest part. It's, again, it's the part of the movie I was the least with. I was like, I don't know about this. But then he learns from her that there is this queen that's been, yeah, kidnapped by the evil guy that he's just, like, keeping in a cage. Mm-hmm. There's also, what's his name? Katapa?
Oh, the captain of the guards?
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude's sweet.
That dude's very sweet. And he's like working for the evil guy, and he's a slave.
He's super bald and super frowning all the time.
Uh-huh. And he's like, his ancestors like had a sworn
they
to
have to
serve.
They have to serve the family of the bad guy.
Right. It's and like he's a, not happy
a,
about
a
it.
Life debt. No, he's not. He's just honor bound to do so. It's like, yeah, the right. guy's a dick, but I have to, you know.
At one point, he like... The bad guy is like, I owe you. What do you wish anything? And he asks him to free the woman, the queen. And he's like, no, if you want, you can kill her. It's the only way you're going to free her. The bad guy's a real dick. He's a real bad guy.
Yeah, he's extremely bad.
Yeah. But yeah, so our main character, he's like, I'll help you rescue this queen. I don't even know who she is, but I love you so much. I'm just going to do this for you. And then he does help rescue her. They fuck off into like safety, and that's when everybody sees him, who's like the rebels or whatever, who are mm-hmm. involved in this. They see him and they recognize him as the son of
the dead king.
Of the dead king, yeah.
And then the bad guy's son tries to fuck with him, and he just chops his head right the
chops
Christ
his
off.
Head right off. He keeps running. I love that the body keeps running after his head gets chopped off.
Yeah.
And it's like a body running and being like, oh, wait, no, I'm headless.
It's like, oh, shit, hold on. Do All I right. stop? Do I keep going?
Exactly. I think I'll take a break. This is taking a lot out of me.
Well, if I stop and turn around and go get my head, it's really going to take the wind out of myself.
Yeah.
I should keep going.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And then this is when the flashback begins, right?
Yeah, when they're like, you are Bahubali, and the flashback is very abrupt.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching a flash... Oh, well, no, not... So, not a, I thought I was watching a flashback of his background.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell, because they show that it's the queen has two kids. And they do what
Dave,
all good parents do.
Dave.
Yeah.
You might say they're two princes.
Two princes, yes. Yes, Tom. They're two princes. And I was thinking that while watching it, too, because they talk about two princes constantly.
So it's just Bahubali's dad as a little boy is, like, nice and, like... Baladeva is a little piece of shit.
Yes.
Just basically
but what they do
that.
they do what all great parents do. They have these two little boys, and they're like, who will become king? And they're like, well, let's just have them compete for most of their life.
Yeah.
And whoever's, like, the better kid. And they show right away that, like, Bahubali is clearly the better kid. He is compassionate. He is respectful. All those things. And they're, like, neck and neck. They do this whole deviation where they have to catch this spy older, and they go to a bar, and they have, like, a real bender.
A
dance number. Yeah, they buy all the beer and give it to everybody, and everybody's just drinking, and there's dancers, and they're having a great fucking time. And then Bahubali and his brother, they find the guy, and he goes to jump off a cliff because he'd rather be dead than get caught. And he jumps off after him with a rope tied to him and grabs him. And his brother purposefully lets go of the rope because he realizes, like, yeah, if he dies, then I'll become king.
Right. If I just drop his ass off a mountain, I'm king by default.
Right. And that's good thinking. That's good one competitive
prince,
spirit.
One prince is here. Only one prince.
And then it, like, gets snagged on a rock.
No, he has to catch it because somebody else shows up, right?
I think it gets snagged on a rock, and then I think Katapa, right, shows up.
I think so, yeah.
And then he has to act like, ah, damn it, I have to pull him up. And so, yeah, this one brother is clearly not a good guy. And so because of that spy's information, they go to war with...
like some just, barbarians, I guess?
Yeah, that was the other
thing. They're like real gnarly looking dudes.
I couldn't tell, was their warrior paint black, or was I witnessing blackface?
I don't know.
That was the other part of this movie that I was like, I don't know about this. I think they were just wearing war paint,
mm-hmm.
but it was just like, I don't know what this is. They felt like generic enemy, you know, generic evil enemy.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a goddamn battle sequence.
Yeah, like a 30-minute battle sequence.
Yeah,
like a real, some real Lord of the Rings shit.
Yeah, this movie is, yeah, it's Lord of the Rings / I would say Game of Thrones. Because it has a very Game of Thrones-ish, you know, backstabbing and fucking...
And then the fucking Papa Baladeva, the bad guy's dad in this flashback, builds the car from Army of Darkness.
He sure does.
He so puts a helicopter blade on the front of his chariot.
Yeah, they basically they decide, oh, this is wonderful. Whichever of the princes wins, kills the bad guy.
Yeah, kills the brings the queen the bad guy's head, I think.
Yeah, that'll be the king. And so they give them two sides of the battlefield, and we see how each of these guys takes it on, and that, like, the bad prince, he gets the Army of Darkness car. He gets more supplies, I think.
Yeah, he gets all the supplies because his the uncle, who is Baladeva's dad's dad, gives all the supplies to his kid.
Yes, and Bahubali it's his dad, but they're both same name.
Yeah. He's got to improvise, so he makes like some improvise. Cool flaming sheets.
He makes one of the coolest things I've seen in a war movie.
Yeah.
He grabs a bunch of pieces of tent, and the way they do the sequence is great is that he has some catapults, and he ties the tent to cannonballs, and he fires it, and it's like this like tarp flying over the enemy, and it lands on them, and it just kind of traps them a little bit, but it's not a big deal. And then one of them cuts the tarp and, like, sticks his head out, like, what the hell? And he smells the tarp, and he's like, And then they cut back to Bahubali, and he's fucking firing a flaming arrow, and the tarp just lights on fire. And it was like, you fucking sick bastard. Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and then just
sweet.
Flaming tarps come at them. That was great.
That was pretty sweet, yeah. The arrow cannons that the bad guy had were awesome, too.
Yeah.
He had these tall towers that just looked like, they looked like the rocket launchers on G.I. Joe vehicles, except they're just loaded with arrows.
Yeah, are those real things?
I don't know, but they were cutting down hundreds of motherfuckers with those guns.
Yeah, they were like...
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I loved the war shit. And then the bad guys use fucking civilians as human shields, and the bad prince is like, ah, fucked if I can.
He chops right through him with his army of darkness car.
Yeah, and Bahubali uses bolas and fucking just like takes all the civilians down.
He does the thing that Batman does in The Dark Knight, where he grapples them and knocks them out of the way.
Yeah, which was smart.
It's wicked smart. See, we're getting to see how these two guys fight.
Right.
See, it's all layers, man.
And at this point, I was like, I don't even know. I forgot it was a flashback. I was just like, this is the movie now.
Yeah.
This is the only movie I want. Because the fight scene is fucking great. They chase down the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad guy throws bodies at him, at Bahubali. Which was fucking great. And they do this like, what does the brother have? Or is it the bad guy? Has like that crazy fucking club that comes off.
Yes.
And he can swing it around like a mace.
Yeah.
That thing was badass.
I fucking loved that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had the fucking gnarliest weapon.
He really did.
Bahubali had like two spears, I think.
Right. Right. He had, it was simple enough. It was very, yeah.
And, yeah, he had this, like, fucking, the bad guy had this goddamn He-Man weapon.
So good. And,
smashing fools.
Bahubali, gets the bad general guy in a corner and he's going to kill him. And then his brother, like, sneaks in for the kill.
Yeah.
And the mom at the end, they've won the war. And the mom is like, I'm still making Bahubali the king because he didn't fight like an asshole. Because
he's not a dickhead. You are an obvious dickhead.
Yeah, you mowed down civilians. it's like playing any video game. It's like, no, that's going to take away your points.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Like, you made a helicopter car and drove it through people.
Right, which was cool.
It was bitchin'.
They give him a real, like, they give him a gold star. They're like, hey, you're great, man. You're doing great. You're fucking, you can be our commander. That car, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not a car. It's a,
it's a chariot, but it has
chariot,
a
chariot, yeah.
Yeah, I'm calling it.
So were there horses on that thing?
I forget how it was.
Right.
Crap,
I feel like horses can't be involved in that contraption.
They weren't in the front. Now I can't remember how it was, how it was being propelled.
I'm going to try to Google it.
Yeah.
Because the horses would be like, holy shit. What do I even Google? Bahubali, the beginning.
Helicopter car? I don't know.
Carriage. Let me try the carriage. Mm-hmm. Y'all can just listen to us do this.
Listen to us Google this shit. You guys should Google it. You owe it to yourselves.
No, I can't. They had a lot of good contraptions. I was just reminded by Googling it, the hay bale trap, where they're... Oh, okay. So, okay. I can explain this to you, Tom.
Okay.
There were horses.
Yeah.
It was carriage, then two horses, and in between the horses, the carriage extends out. Further than the horses, and the blades were in front of the horses. So it goes blade, like it's like a Dr. Seuss contraption. It's blade. It's like definitely something the Onceler would use to cut down the truffula trees.
Oh, yep. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, it's blades, then like a thin strip where the horses are on either side, and then the carriage. So the horses are probably thinking, I don't know what they're thinking. They can't see where the fuck they're going. And there's a very good, if they crash into something, you're going to have a couple headless horses.
They're all
on
getting
your hands.
Chopped up.
Yeah. There's no fun.
There's no way they're getting through that.
No, not at all. But you remember the hay bale thing too? That was cool. It's when he's escaping with the queen, they have these like gates. And the way they block the gates is they light hay bales on fire and roll them down.
Oh, yeah.
Into the path. And then he just bursts the fuck through it, which, yeah, I mean, you should have probably had something other than hay. I assume they're banking on the horses being like, not going through that shit. But, you know, Bahubali was like, no, fuck you, horses. You're going through that shit. And the horses are like, all right, you're like superhuman.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're the boss, but shit, this seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, this is going to burn our eyes, you dick. I love the part where he's giving, there's a part where, like all wars during where you're fighting with arrows and horses, someone has to give a fucking speech.
Yes.
I always wondered about that, like watching Lord of the Rings, because like Aragorn, he's not the speech given type, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's kind of a quiet edgelord type.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know they all want it. And when he finally gets to give his speech, it's like, oh, you had this one in the holster.
Yeah, he's been working on it for a while.
Oh, of course he had. That's what he was doing come in that tavern. Yeah,
pitch jokes for him. And
yeah. He got rid of all the jokes ultimately because he was like, you know what? It's not appropriate.
This needs
to
be serious. It's serious, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to maintain the tone.
Yeah. This movie had one of my favorite moments from that because they're in the middle of the battle. Like the battle is going. It's not a pre-battle. And his men start to run away, and he starts to give a speech. And I don't even remember the fucking speech.
Well, he basically says, it's after their lines get broken. The way they set up is pretty fucking cool, too. That phalanx thing they do.
They call it the trident, right?
Yeah, the trident defense. But he's like, he basically says, do you want to die, running away or do you want to, like, he's like, as long as I live, nobody's going to touch the queen.
Right.
Like I'm fucking it up, but he gets like really like,
he's giving a good one.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one.
But what makes it so fucking good is while he's giving the speech, an arrow just randomly plunges into his chest and he doesn't even flinch.
He keeps talking and then plucks it out of his chest.
Yeah.
He's also covered in blood at this point.
I was thinking of so many comedic versions where he finishes the speech and looks down and goes, oh my God, who shot me? Oh God, I'm bleeding. Because he just gets nailed. And at that point, the army is like, well, we can't not do this. This guy just got shot with an arrow while he's giving us a speech. He didn't even fucking flinch. But at the same time, he's fucking, is the dad superpowered too?
I assume.
Yeah, so like, if I had like Thor leading me into battle, I'd be like, fuck you, Thor, do it yourself.
Yeah, we'll wait back here.
Yeah, we're all gonna die.
Yeah,
Fucking complete the story, but we're all dead.
I mean, some of them, your brother's gonna throw our bodies at people.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's effective, but yeah, it's not cool. Not cool, bro.
Definitely don't appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Man, what a war. It managed to be, because this also didn't feel like R-rated, right? Had some sex in it, but no nudity that I remember.
No, and there's the blood's kind of, there's not much, there's blood, but there's not really any gore.
Yeah, but it's, they also do some gnarly ass shit.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So it's like, if it's a PG-13, they really take that PG-13 rating for a ride.
It feels like a PG-13.
Yeah.
It feels on par with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, for sure. So they, they win the, I forget. Okay, so then they say, like, yeah, he became a great king until he was betrayed, stabbed in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves the flashback, and he says, like, I want to know who, what traitor killed my father?
Mm-hmm.
And Katapa says, that traitor was me. And they cut to, and they show him stabbing him in the back. And then the movie fucking ends. And I was like, oh, shit. Because Katapa is a good guy.
Up until this point, yeah.
And I really...
Well, he's going to have to kill the king because he's in blood debt to the other family.
Oh, and
the bad guy's going to make him do it.
Right, you're right.
So he can be king, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where it fucking ends. And I thought that was really hardcore.
Yeah.
Because it ended on a character moment as opposed to like a, how are they going to get out of this moment? That's I think what I really liked about the ending, because it feels abrupt, but it also doesn't, because it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this had a, I thought this had a lot going for it in terms of story.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard like hero myth.
Yeah.
But man, that last chunk, that fucking battle sequence really does it for me.
Oh yeah. There's not, yeah, the first part is mostly like building the story and songs. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to the battle sequence, it doesn't fucking let up.
Yeah.
And it is very creative.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, there's a lot of like almost anime-esque, like Matrix-esque, where he like rams into people and it slows down and he's like destroying people.
Yeah.
And so it just makes it a really fucking entertaining watch. Like, I really appreciate, if you're going to make your movie 3 hours long, make the last hour like nonstop.
Yeah, make it a fight.
Yeah, make it a fucking
make it a cool ass fight.
Because that, like, yeah, I had my doubts about this movie, mainly because of the runtime.
Yeah, I was just looking at the sequel. The sequel is slightly longer. So
really,
yeah,
still gonna watch it.
Yeah,
and like EGA was pretty long too, wasn't it?
Yeah, EGA was I think 2.5.
Right. That's a lot of time spent on a movie about a man who turns into a fly.
I know, but it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of the same. I also appreciated, and we texted about this briefly, the lead character is so schlubby in this.
I know. It's. I mean, he's in reasonable shape.
Yeah, but, no. He's just by Hollywood standards, it's right. Like, he's just some guy's dad.
Right. He kind of looks like a shift manager.
Yeah. it's got a real, like, I would have assumed he was the director and writer.
Right.
This was a lower budget film.
Yes.
I would have assumed this is a man fulfilling some sort of fantasy or midlife crisis.
Right.
But I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
It's funny.
American movies do it all the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just fucking, yeah.
Oh, man.
You've seen Imposter with Gary Sinise?
No.
You haven't seen Imposter with Gary Sinise?
Why the hell would I have seen Imposter with Gary
Sinise? It's a sci-fi classic. No, there's. This is one of the, nothing against the lead of this movie, and nothing against Gary Sinise, but the Imposter, I remember, tried to give him like some sexy leading man stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that with Gary Sinise. Like, I love Gary Sinise; he's not a bad looking guy, but if you're trying to give him like shirtless scenes or like make him, you know, it's just not gonna.
Yeah.
It's not gonna work out. I think you've misjudged Sinise. And this guy again is like, I'm not one to talk, which is why I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Cause he's like, he's got the energy of like funny friend in a romantic comedy.
Yes,
and he's like
very
fucking
much so.
Thor in this. And it's like, ah, good for him. Like, yeah, fuck
he's
it. Why can't he be superhuman? Like, doesn't matter. Yeah. Lift that fountain. Fuck it. I also, man, the queen, it opens on, we already described it. She's fucking walking through a river holding this baby up, mm-hmm. just drowning.
Yeah.
And then they take the baby away.
It's just her hand above the water. Yeah.
Yeah. They take the baby away and she points to the waterfall and then she just drifts off.
Yep.
Which I thought, like, how'd she even know which way the waterfall was? That's fucking, she's keeping track of so many things at once while drowning. Good on her for multitasking.
Yeah.
That's my
point. She's really got it. She's got it figured out, man.
Mm-hmm.
She had a plan and she executed it.
Yeah. That's my last big thought about this. Just that this movie's a lot of fun. Somewhere there's a snake flying through the air on an arrow.
I assume he's still flying, yes.
Yeah. Just having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
God,
what a snake.
Yeah. CGI snake, doesn't matter.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. My biggest note, and I said it at the beginning of this, is more Marvel films should watch this movie and take a cue and just be like, yeah, fuck it, more dance numbers.
Yeah, honestly, get a little soft shoe in there, get some tap, some light tap.
I would love to see a Marvel movie halt everything for a song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that James Gunn has already started this, but I want to. I don't want to see it make sense. You know.
Yeah, I don't want it to. I don't want it to have it like it organically flow. I want it to come out of nowhere and
yeah,
just,
I want it
and
to
just
stop.
Force itself into the movie.
I want to see the villain have a song.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the heroes have a song. Everything in between. Get on it. It's fucking. Why not? Why not? Like that's what it is. Is fucking. That was my realization watching this. Is just like, yeah, why not just stop and make us all happy for a second?
Yeah. What are we? Why are we pretending we can't just do this? These are all movies.
Yeah, these are all movies. Like,
we can just,
do you think anything in this movie is realistic? Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well. And yeah, I think that's the biggest. Who? What type of fan would you recommend this to? Because I was just gonna say superhero fans. I think if you like the Marvel films, you might really enjoy this.
Yeah, especially once it gets to the flashback.
Yeah,
superhero fans, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones fans.
Yeah, it feels. I would say it's Marvel meets Game of Thrones.
Yeah, for sure.
I leave out Lord of the Rings a bit from my head because it's not really fantasy, right?
Well, I mean, it's mythological, sort of.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got a little bit of that, like, Troy feel to it.
Yeah.
And they are superhuman. I mean, there's not, like, orcs or anything in it. But...
Yeah, there's no elves and magic. There's no magic. Unless you count just, like, running at, like, the speed of a fucking horse into a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, practically ripping him in half with your superhuman strength.
And that's pretty sweet.
It's pretty fucking sweet. That's the other. I think that's the other thing that I got like really satisfied me, mm-hmm. is you never see like Captain America just like murdering someone with pure force. Like, you know, he could. You know, Thor could just like tear a person's head off.
Right. Yeah. Just grab you by the face and rip your skull into two pieces.
Yeah, and this isn't that gory, but it had that weight to it. Mm-hmm. It had that like. Brutality, whereas like this is a superhuman man just cramming himself into folks, just fucking people right up, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need a fucking beefcake dude to just
mm-hmm.
wrestle a bull's head into the ground.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah, he humiliated that fucking bull.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I also like the queen building the funeral pyre. She went just
yeah.
She went the appropriate amount of crazy. She's yeah. like been locked up forever, and when they let her out, she's just like stacking twigs. And then
fucking flinging them.
Yeah, and Katapa is like, "Why are you doing this?" Or I forget how the conversation starts. And she's like, "I'm building a funeral pyre for him." And she's just got the fucking like eyes of madness, and it's like, oh Jesus, right, you've had a lot of time to think, haven't you? You're holding a big grudge. Yeah, she was pretty badass.
She's been like, that's the first thing she did, so that was, she was planning on doing that for like 2.5 decades. She's like, as soon as I get out of here, I'm fucking building a fire.
I hope she gets it, you know,
she deserves it.
I assume that's going to be part of the arc, like they set that up, so like she best light that guy on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any more thoughts? Any final thoughts?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, just watch this movie.
Yeah, you got time. It's on Netflix.
There's there's strong mustache game in this movie, too.
Yeah. A lot of mustache work.
There's a whole lot of mustaches.
Yeah.
I think every male character has a mustache, mm-hmm. at least.
And not just a mustache, but a fantastic mustache.
Right,
yeah.
like a baby has
a mustache. You
right,
know?
Just like a mythological mustache.
Yeah.
Really crafted, like artistic, artisanal
oh, yeah.
mustaches.
Like thick and beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, check out Bahubali The Beginning, if only, just for the mustache show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the mustache show.
Mm. Thank you, Andrew McGuire. You don't let us down. I don't think. I don't know. I don't keep track of who gives us what movies.
I don't have those stats in front of me.
So maybe you're our worst enemy, statistically speaking. I don't know. Who can say? Is my point. Andrew did this through our Patreon. So if you guys are interested, you can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, and Fox Mulder is a Maniac, and a bunch of other tiers. So you can check that out when you have a chance,
which, I mean, you probably are going to have some free time this week. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know your life. I don't know what you're all about.
Listen, I definitely don't have recording devices planted in your homes, so I can't say with 100% certitude what you're going to be doing this week. But check out the Patreon if you have the time. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this. It helps us out. And we have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, which you can check out if you wish. We've got stuff there. So do those things. Or don't.
Or don't. Yeah, like I said,
you are the master of your own destiny.
We don't know what you're doing, so no idea. I don't know. When you're done cooking that spaghetti, maybe check it out.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
All right.
bye?
Yeah, I think bye.
Bye.
Bye.